Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Red? How you doing? What up?
I'm good, Brother D. How are you?
I'm all right. You sound a little muffled.
Oh, I do? I'm sorry.
Sad and muffled. Yes, ma'am. Yo, what up, everybody? What's going on?
Sorry,
another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. What's up, everybody? Everybody.
Sound better?
What's up? Yes, you do.
Sound better.
Big Red, Brother D in the house. The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? How's everybody? How was your holiday, Red?
How everybody's doing? Oh. Everybody's good. Everything is good.
Yeah, how was your holiday?
Huh?
How was your holiday?
That was good. Hope everybody else had a good holiday.
Yes. Wow. Hope everybody had a blessed one, with family and friends. And, to those that didn't have anybody, this year or lost someone, our prayers go out to you, chin up.
That's it.
Head to the sky, man. What I'm saying? Every day can be a better day as long as you got a chance. A new day to make the change. Changes can be made. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man. But, yo, once again, The Menu. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B, guest calling the number 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. You can catch us on Instagram, The Menu, at The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. And that's on Facebook, too. Same thing. The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. Yeah. So, our topic for tonight. Quite interesting, something that Red, of course, threw out there.
Yes.
So, Red always be coming with, the interesting stuff. You ever start a fight or something like that. Like, Red likes starting scraps.
Yes. If anybody want to know, my nickname is Troublemaker.
Yeah, you definitely are. You live up to it. Little pint-sized-ass Troublemaker. You just like one of them little cats that be sitting on the counter and just like smack shit on the floor real quick.
Yeah, just be looking at it. He's like, don't do that. And just start hitting it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's
next
exactly.
thing you know, it's broken and you got to clean up stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. So. Our topic for tonight, is there a double standard when it comes to black women compared to other races? Now, what made you come up with this topic, Red?
Okay, well, I came up with this topic because of a post that I seen that someone posted up in a group. About, how basically the post was saying how, in other cultures, men are the breadwinners. They go to work and they want their women to stay home. And with that being said, when they, you know, in other cultures, you know, it's kind of like accepted for a woman to stay home and the man goes out to work and, you know, that's supposed to be fine in other cultures. But it seems like when in the black culture, when we do it, then we're considered being gold diggers or we're lazy or we're looking for the man to take care of us. And it's just like, okay, well, isn't that your job to take care of a woman, period? Is it supposedly, according to society, that is supposed to be your job, is to take care of your woman, your wife, girlfriend, mother of your children, whatever. Now, I say, you know, us as black women, and as it says, well, I'll read the actual post that was put up. So I'm going to read it now. It says, in Asian culture, specifically Southeast Asia, it's customary for a man to provide for us. I never see anyone bashing Asian women for it, though. Black women have a long history of being the head of their household, but somehow get labeled as gold diggers and users. So now someone responded to this young lady, I guess, and said, well, why in my experience is it only the black women who expect the man to pay for everything? I never experienced this in other cultures. So, like I said, you know, that kind of like is something to think about, because once again, why do we have to be labeled lazy or gold diggers, or we looking for something, or we look, but then, you know, black men will sit up there and they'll take care of that Caucasian woman. They'll take care of the Asian. They'll take care of that, you know, sorry to say this, some Spanish women, even though Spanish women are also, you know, Spanish people are also considered as the minority like us, but then they'll do that before they do that to a black woman, or they'll say, oh, well, she wants something from me. Oh, she wants, mama, oh, why I got to pay for this? But y'all will spend up money on these other chicks, on other women. So why is it we have to get it so hard? And once again, we're bearing your children. We also have jobs and stuff like that, but you expect us to, you know, throw out stuff for y'all. And as you can see, the table's being turned now with this new society where it's like, oh, the man is staying home and the women are going out there working these 8-9 hour jobs while you sitting up here playing the PS5 and expect me to come home, give you some loving and cook and clean and take care of the kids while you sitting here playing the PS5. Nah, like, or you trapping, slapping, or scamming, or whatever the hell it is that you know these men are doing these days. It's like, no. But then you'll make sure that your little Spanish mommy or your little Asian or whatever, you're gonna make sure you take care of you can stay home, baby, and I'll go out. Job. But with us, it's a problem. With us, oh, we're gold diggers. Oh, you just want me for my money. You want me for my money.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't say that I speak for every male or men. I will speak, you know, in some of my experiences or, you know, my observations. When it comes down to stuff like that, you got to look at the person who's saying things like that. You got to look at the people that are saying stuff like that. You know, of course, I never make it any secret or, you know, never try to hide it where I have a disdain for fuckboys, you know. I mean, really, it's a stereotypical thing because, all right, look at it like this. You got to look, once again, you got to look at the source of where these statements are coming from. That's number one. Because if you're worried about what a fuckboy is saying about you, then that's like some personal issue of what fuckboys are putting out there. You also got to look at how society stereotypically has to put, you know, black people in general, especially black women. Like, if you really look at it, the role of the black man, you know, it has been somewhat, you know, diminished. Our roles and who we are, our character has basically been assassinated throughout the year. Now, who is the main protector of the black woman? It is the black man. But once you eliminate us, you know, through either, and I'm going to say it, whether it's killing, jail, we lose men to, you know, the alternative lifestyle and things in that nature. Also, you got a lot of dudes out there that are just not in that, you know, in that thing of, like, taking care of family or knowing how to, because they're not being taught right. You know, they're not being groomed with these
types
of skills.
Or they haven't been shown that.
You know? Yeah, they haven't been shown it, and a lot of times they haven't seen it, either because, A, their daddy before them left, or, B, their mama was like, hey, listen, I don't need no man, which is another issue, you know, in our community. But once again, we have to kind of look at what the main thing is we have to look at what we do to ourselves to foster this type of attitude, because we do put ourselves in situations where we're basically turning the gun on ourselves. Like, right. If I'm a kid and I'm constantly seeing, you know, people like that look like me, you know, women out there shaking their asses, you know, wearing, you know, scantily clad shit just to get attention, or always talking about getting that bag, and they showing their titties and their ass, doing all this and that. I mean, after a while, what does that really say, you know, to a person? What does that say? Wait, what does it say to some of these impressionable, you know, young men growing up when they see stuff like this? What does it say, you know, what does it say to the young girls that are out there seeing this stuff? And they're turning around thinking like, well, if I can't get it one way, I'm going to get it another. You know what I'm saying? Or that being the easy route to go. If you got a little good look to you, and you know, you got your little gimmick, you know, you got your nice little body, you can go shake your ass and, you know what I'm saying, find somebody with some money to take care of you.
Yeah, but y'all men go for it, though. Okay, you saying that, but then guess what? Once again, you're right. You go out there and shake your ass and see that chick, and she, once again, you're at the strip club, you see this chick, she's shaking her ass and doing all that stuff. So I want to, you know, I want a piece of that. Okay, you go to VIP, you get a piece of that, then all of a sudden you in love. So you see afterward, now you want to start dating her. My thing is, you know what she's about. You know she about her paper. So then, because you got the money like that, yeah, it may not be necessary. That of course she's going to go for you because you got the paper. You done spent all your, you done took it to VIP, you done spent money on it. Now you want to, you know, do all of that. But then now you spend some time with it. Then once again, these men make that, that's what they want to make wifey. Oh, you make a wifey, now you want her to act like a woman. You can't expect somebody like that to act like a woman unless she has a different type of mindset, and she said, well, you know what, listen, I'm going to get out this lifestyle, and I'm going to, you know, mess with you in that type of way. Okay, you're trying to make me, you know, a wholesome woman or whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, if you know that's who she is, and you know she wants that money, hey, then you put yourself in that position. So you can't expect her to think any differently if that's what you started the relationship on.
Now, before Miss Cherry goes in, because we know Miss Cherry about to go in,
we're going to call it Cherry Bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Cherry Bomb.
Call it Cherry Bomb. That's right. That's your new name, Miss Cherry. Cherry Bomb.
I was actually watching the game, so I just signed on. I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Okay.
Wait, all right. Well, hold on. But before Miss Cherry, you know, gets brought up to speed and, you know, starts to go in, I will say this. Those guys that do all the extras that go for the gold diggers and know that they're gold diggers, listen, there's no purpose in complaining. But to the ones that do complain,
they do though.
You really gotta. But listen, you gotta really look at it. If your money was that long, what the hell are you complaining about?
That don't mean nothing.
You know what I'm saying? But to me, nah, son. Listen. Let me tell you.
No, listen.
I'm going to tell you something.
Go ahead.
Real talk, and real game. If your money is that long, or if you ain't really stressing it like that, there's no use of calling a chick you gold digger. I mean, listen, the game, it is, if you really respect the game like that, if you call yourself a player and you really about that life and you about that game, it's nothing. The money that you're spending is nothing, and it should be nothing because, once again, you call yourself a player and you know how to play the game. You know what these chicks is all about, and then you go out and get them. There's no need to be stressing, you know, what you believe they are. Oh, they gold diggers, especially if you're facilitating the lifestyle. Now,
but
there are other
what?
Cats. And well, hold mm-hmm. on. There's other ethnicities, you know what I'm saying, where their paper's different. You know what I'm saying? Where they don't put, they put a value on money, but sometimes they put more value on the woman that they're with, causing them to be like, hey, I'm going to spend this money because she's worth it. You know what I'm saying? Some of our black men don't value our women like that, to spend like that. And when they do come across one that's looking for one to, you know, to do something for them, which I don't feel is wrong, you know, unless it's something in excess, because there's a big difference between, like, oh, helping me out with some bills, or if you're in a relationship, like, yeah, you know, you're supposed to, you know, your partner's, so you're supposed to kind of do things kind of 60-40 or 50-50 or whatever, instead of, you know, getting all in your feelings about, oh, she always want me to do this, she always want me to do that. I'm sorry, but step your game up. Or if your game was never right to begin it, in the beginning, you should have never stepped up at all.
But once
and that's
again,
just real talk. If you're not that man that's about that life, don't talk that shit. Because
okay,
once
well,
again,
that's fine.
Well, all right, but then once again, in other ethnicities, they look at things differently when it comes down to their women. But at the same time, they don't out shit like that. Like, you don't hear white women talk about, oh, well, at least I don't hear, oh, men ain't shit, or white men ain't shit. Or you don't hear Asian women talk about, oh, Asian men ain't shit, or this, that, and if they do say it, they say it amongst themselves. It's not something that they put on blast, you know, for in terms of their people. They don't do that. And besides, anytime we say something, it seems like it always gets amplified, because we're just the ones that, you know, the media have to latch on to. Because, you know, it's like, oh, it's a black thing. So, oh, some black people said it. So they sensationalize it and hype it up to be more than what it really is.
Right.
But
I
we do
all
feed
that.
Into the stereotype. But God, wait,
right.
Miss Cherry turn.
Right, I feed all of that.
It's Miss Cherry turn. Wait, Miss Cherry.
Wait, hold on, Miss Cherry. I'm sorry. We got to keep up. We got to get up to date anyway. But at the end of the day, like I said, okay, you're saying all that, but once again, these guys going to these clubs, and like I said, it's predominantly black women that you see that are doing, you know, the strip. Now, I ain't saying that, you know, white women don't do it, other cultures, other ethnicities don't do it, but the thing is, like I said, the other ethnicities, they don't mind spending that money. They don't mind. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I don't mind spending that type of money. Yeah, I'm going to make her my wife or whatever, and I don't mind spending money. But then with the woman that you, like I said, the woman is working in the same place as the other women is working, then it's a problem when it comes to us. Then it's an issue. That's how I see it. It's still an issue when it comes to us, but the other ethnicity, they don't mind spending that money on. They don't mind. All oh, right. Yeah, she's taking all my money, but okay.
All right, hold on before you start. 4580, you're on the air with the menu. What's up?
Yeah, is that you, Brother B?
Oh! It's the man.
Is that,
it's the man of men. It's Mr. Joe. Welcome,
Mr.
Joe. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here earlier today, so I might actually participate with the conversation.
Hey, guys. Yeah, we got Mrs. Joe and K-Dog in the house. What's good,
K-Dog?
Hey, man. What's up?
So, I'm just going to try to pick up from what you guys were talking about. And I do think that when you're looking at other ethnicities, that it's almost an expectation. It's a pride for them to be able to take care of their women, whether they're dating them or married or whatever. But I think that with us, we kind of, the chatter that we have in our community is that if you do too much for your woman, she's using you, she's a gold digger. So for us, for a man to step up and say, I'm doing all this, his friends kind of look at him like, she's punking you. She's going to take that money and she's going to leave. And we don't have that same sort of pride. You know, for us, it's like it's 50-50, or we're trying to get away doing just as little as we can and still, you know, so we don't feel used. It's almost like an expectation of a failure going into a relationship. And why would you invest in something that you feel you're going to fail in?
Okay. Mr. Joe?
Well, she's half right. The pride, yeah.
So I'm 100%.
Yeah, you're 100% half.
Yeah.
But the thing is that other than the black community, I don't know about the Asians, but Caucasians and Hispanics, well, Hispanics, they're a different breed. They have a spot cheesebone in their particular culture, which messes with their heads. But with white men, yeah, there's a pride. And I think with other ethnicities, and even with black men, I presume there's a pride when you marry. But you're also assuming that only in the black community are the men worried about the men leaving. Men worry about that, especially nowadays, because of the kind of propaganda which is being dispensed out there by the mainstream media and by books and by women who, and not just black women, but white women who are talking about how white men are living up to their responsibilities. Don't forget about the patriarchal society, how everything bad is done because men have done it. The period, the menstrual cycle, that's a man's responsibility, and that's his problem, and that's he caused that too. So let's not exclude white women from pointing the finger at at white men and saying you're to blame for everything. But so this particular problem is universal about black men being, not black men, but men in general being kind of skeptical about their women, kind of leery, got an eye open, always on guard, because don't forget the Me Too movement. There aren't too many black chicks in that Me Too movement. They're all white chicks. And their complaint was from 20 years ago. He touched me 20 years ago. He should be fired. All that kind of nonsense. I think women in general are playing the victim card way too much nowadays.
Let me ask you a question. With the Me Too movement, right? Can you admit that 20 years ago, if a woman made a complaint against a guy, she was often dismissed and it was never looked into? So although I agree with you, 20 years is a long time to bring out a claim, you also have to understand we didn't have a voice 20 years ago. So the things were being done, but they were being swept under the rug, and we had no voice. If you said something, you lost your job. That was it.
Disagree, because I know from being in the workforce 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, if a woman made a complaint, it was taken seriously. It wasn't taken to the legal level. If a man, disagreed with his colleague, just disagreed, and they didn't get along, she was going to complain about him in some way or fashion. And that was going to go not just to HR, because HR, we didn't have legal requirements back there, you know, which made every woman's claim one of these, every woman has to be believed. Yeah, okay. But that, no, they were taken seriously, because I know I got in trouble for just being on the wrong side of the woman's personality. We didn't get along. Nothing to do with sexual harassment. It was
we didn't get along.
But Joe, do you think it had something to do with your job?
Like maybe it was your job in particular that didn't take that type of stuff, because there are other jobs out there that maybe where they did sweep certain things under the rug, or they didn't take things that serious.
Well, in the police department and in the fire department, or in blue-collar jobs where you have pictures of women up on the wall, they didn't take that to be very careful years ago. Yeah, but in the last 20 years,
in corporate America,
I do know.
In any competitive job, they don't.
Okay.
They would say you're being sensitive, or did he mean it that way? You might be reading too much into it. 20 years ago, women were not taken seriously when you made a complaint. It was easier to lay her off and keep the old boys club together than to actually investigate it. So that's why I think it's coming out a lot more, because of the Me Too movement. Women are now standing up and demanding that it be paid attention to.
But again, you're dismissing what I just said. I just said, yeah, in the job that I had. Yeah. Well, you're talking about your job, okay?
No,
we all have empirical evidence.
I'm saying the job in general, corporate America, like you mentioned, the police department, the fire department, women do not have voices in those positions.
That's the mainstream media telling people that. How come there are plenty of women who are in the fire department, don't belong there? How come there are women in the police department and do not belong there? Let me ask you a question. If your house is on fire, do you want some 5'6", 150-pound, 145-pound women or a battalion of them trying to put out the fire and drag down people from the building? Or would you rather have 6-foot, 200-pound men doing it?
I would rather have somebody that knows how to put out the fire, because, to be quite
honest,
some of the firemen are closer to 300 than 200, and they're having problems getting up the stairs, too. So I don't think
you haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that, right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you live at that.
Get out of here, 300 pounds.
Absolutely.
300 pounds.
Well,
I said closer to
300.
Oh, closer to 300. Okay. No exaggeration going on here.
Wait, hold on. I think the thing is this. I think it's just selective in terms of, you know, certain jobs. Certain jobs, you know, women may have the voice. Certain jobs, they just don't. I also very much agree with what Mr. Joe said in terms of the mainstream media. The mainstream media has a lot to do with the stereotypes that are put in place. Social media, all of this stuff. It media itself can make a situation or break a situation, especially when it comes to public opinion, because people will get swayed. All it has to be is two or three news outlets that say one person or a group of people is this, and then everybody starts believing it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're falling into that whole okey-doke shit that's, you know, put out there. Like, if they say it, then that's what it is. And that's not always the case. So when it comes down to, you know, of ethnicities, you know, and women, I mean, listen, how Asian men treat their women is one thing. How, you know, Spanish men treat their women is one thing. How black men treat their women is another thing. But being a black man and having to deal with our people for so many years, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Once again, it's some of the shit that we do to ourselves and put ourselves in position to make ourselves look like the freaking buffoons, to look like the gold diggers.
Yeah, but what the hell
happened to you? Wait a minute, hold on. listen, when you look at the music, when you look at just certain shit, when it comes down to the TV shows, now, Red, me and you have had this conversation before, and it's like I told you, I don't watch certain shit or I don't listen to certain shit because it keeps pandering to this stereotype that goes against who we truly are. You know what I'm saying? And that's a problem because you can't sit there. Like, listen, the sad part is you got women out there playing that role of a gold digger or looking a certain way just to get attention. And they really not, and they really not built like that. They really not, like, they really not like that at all. They're just doing that shit just to get attention. But meanwhile, there are other little girls that look like them that are watching this shit and they think that's real. You have some mothers out there that are telling their daughters, hey, you got to get that bag by all means necessary. You got some men out there telling their little girls, hey, listen, you got to go do this. You got to do what it takes to get this, that. And nah, we're not coaching them right. So before we can start pointing fingers at other ethnicities, because those other ethnicities know how to hold their shit down.
You know,
those other ethnicities
don't
come out there running their mouth about their own people. Go ahead, K-Go.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, I'll say good evening, everybody. Brother B, what you're saying is true, because you know what it is? Hey, but, hey, I already said hello to Mr. Joe already. And unfortunately, within us as a people, and Brother B, you've heard me say this many times before, Hot Rod heard me say it many times before, we're always slamming each other. We're always at war with each other. When it comes, and I'm not condemning anything, I'm just speaking truth to the things I observe. Like, we talked about the way that white men treat their women, Asian men, Hispanic men. But then, when it comes to us, it's like, we get slammed. And the problem is that we do it to ourselves, too, because how is it that you use social media to slam the next person? And, you know, to throw shade at the next person. I've seen this happen many a time. And, of course, with reality TV shows, I mean, let's face it. You know, the Kardashians have their TV show. Everyone looks at them as buffoons and stupid idiots, but guess what?
Nobody. Yeah, but they're not considered gold diggers, though. The only,
right,
they're not considered gold diggers.
Nope, they're not. But then when you have a show like Love & Hip Hop, Basketball Wives, constantly, what is that? You're showing a horrible image of the black women. It's
right.
A bad image. You have the angry black woman who sits there and curses out the guy because the guy is being a bum. Okay, you know this guy. You know the guy is a bum. Why would you get with him in the first place? If you know that he's a no-good bum, why are you getting with him? But then you're slamming him. If you know that that girl likes to run around, why are you selling yourself short? Why are you selling your body like that for? Show some damn pride.
No, I need my 15 minutes
respect
of fame.
For yourself. You know, and it's stupid. And this is the thing that I don't like watching. That's why, just like you, Brother B, just like you, Big Red, I can't stand those shows. Those shows are disgusting. I'll say it. It's shit. It's in the trash can. That shit is nasty because you see it time and time again. Oh, I can't believe he did this. I'm like, what, you didn't know that you didn't know that he has other women? Come on.
Because that stuff
seriously?
Is scripted, because a lot of it is scripted. It's scripted. Not to cut you off. Sorry to cut you off, K-Go. But just like
no,
you
go
said,
ahead.
It's scripted towards, as Brother B and you and all of us know, it's scripted towards us. They want everybody
and
to think that, oh, that's all black people are about is cheating on each other and they don't know how to love each other and they got baby daddies and baby mamas and all that other. That's all they ever want to put out there.
Exactly.
But,
and you know what? And you have some of us
but
who
we allow it.
We allow it, exactly, because you know what it is? What kind of, okay, what does that say to that young girl that's watching these shows? She's going to look at that and say like this, this is who I want to be. I mean, I've heard of women who are 40-something years old, over the age of 40, practically looking at those women who degrade themselves, who constantly degrade themselves every night. They looking at them like, yeah, that's my girl over there. I'm like, what?
That's my girl. Yep, absolutely.
Are you serious?
You a grown-ass woman with damn grandkids probably You talking
Thank
that
you.
Nonsense.
You're looking at this thing, and you're looking at this thing like, yeah, that's what she's doing. No, it's not cool. That thing is disgusting.
Yeah, it's degrading.
Well, hold on. Miss Cherry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I had this conversation with my son. My son is like 22, and I know eventually he's going to bring somebody home for me to meet that he is serious about. And I'm looking on this TikTok, and the girls that I see that are black, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's disgraceful. I don't want
no,
to go outside of our race because it hurts me to say that, but the way that they're behaving on there, I don't want to see that walking my door. My son already
mm-hmm.
knows that. I mean, from just the simple things like these girls don't even think they're beautiful. They're pounding on makeup like it's free.
Absolutely.
They walk in looking
and
one
the ugly
way,
and those ugly
out.
Ass wigs.
Yeah,
and
they
ugly ass eyelashes.
The makeup and stuff, they look completely different. Like, what happens when they go to bed and they wake up?
They look fake.
A completely different person next to you. Everything's fake.
No, they take the
That's
face
fake.
On them.
What is fake? You know, I don't know. I don't
Hair's
know what
fake.
To tell them. And it's not even their looks. It's their attitude. It's
mm-hmm.
the stuff that comes out of their mouths. We were never allowed to act like that. That's more like what you would find strippers acting like when I was younger. Now it's just
mm-hmm.
your average girl walking down the street. She wants to show everything.
Well,
she wants to shake everything. She wants to ask for money. I told my son, I said, you're in college. You can afford to be poor. If a girl needs something, have her ask her parents to get a job, period. You're not carrying anybody.
Exactly.
You're a kid yourself. And I don't
exactly.
think that these girls are growing up feeling entitled. If you're dating me, you're buying me this. You're 19, 20, 21. You got to learn how to get it yourself or ask your parents or do without at this age.
Exactly.
And that's like the mentality that I see to him, but it's a shame that I have to. You know what I'm saying? It's a shame that I have to.
Yep.
Mr. Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what Johnny was saying also has some similarities with white marriages and white relationships. It's not quite as blatant as in the black community with the women, because I've talked to a lot of black women, a lot of black men over the years in Block Talk Radio. Since 80%, at least 80% of the shows on Block Talk Radio are black, and they deal
mm-hmm.
with relationships. So I've been talking a lot about it. Seems to me like black women are very, very into having the man pay the bills. White women, no. What white women want are the men to be the utility men for them. Drive them around, fix their shit. Not so much pay the bills. But all women want the men to fulfill some sort of image.
To be the provider.
The man has to be, yeah, protect the provider. So how each different community expresses it, okay, that's up to their community. But the one thing which is definitely what I consider to be mainly black is that twerking, where if there's some kind of situation that's going on, black women have to go out there in the subway, on the street, and start twerking.
Well, first of all, I've never twerked
see...
in my life, so let's not make it that.
I don't
funny.
Know how to twerk.
Well, I mean, well, I will say this. Twerking is actually not a new thing. The sad
mm-hmm.
part, it's been degraded and demoralized by
mm-hmm.
a generation of ignorant asses that don't know the history behind the dance itself.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, it has African origins. But it's just that they got a hold of it. Ignorant people got a hold of it and exploited it to something, and turned it into something like sexual and just straight
out nasty.
But
that has to do with society. That has to
well,
do
yeah,
with society and
well,
social media.
But you know what? But the thing is this. You're absolutely right. It has something to do with the media and society. But we put that out there. We took that and turned it into something else. We didn't have to put the extras behind it. See, you know what the thing
mm-hmm.
is? And I have
it's
to,
not so
and I got to come down. Hold on. You know what? We don't control the shit that we do. We do shit and we let someone else label it, take over it,
and then
next thing you know, drop it in our lap. We don't control the image. We don't control the stereotype. Like I said, when it comes down to white women or white men or Asian women or Spanish, listen, if they talk that shit, oh, they ain't no good Spanish men or they ain't no good white men, they keep all that shit amongst themselves. They're not on TV talking that shit. They're not on TV out there,
outing
one another. But we are the ones to ourselves. So when it comes down to that twerking thing, I bet you a lot of people that are twerking out there, they don't know the roots of it, where it came from, and why it was done. And those are the ignorant asses that I blame for coming up with this stereotype. And once again, they don't even know the shit that they're doing.
I want to say something that's going to be controversial, and I'm going to say this.
Let Mr. Joe go, Ms. Cherry, and then
Joe, go ahead, my man.
Mr. Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about what K-Dog was saying before. He was talking about reality shows and the bad image that was being presented as a result of that. As it was being dumped on the shoulders of black women. Let's not forget, there was also, most reality shows have some black women in it, but it's not primarily about black women. How about the show called Mob Wives? That was about Italian chicks.
Oh, yeah.
How they were married.
Yeah.
I remember that.
How they were married to criminals. All right? And to me, there was one particular scene I won't get into because it's going to be a little prolonged, so I won't get into it, but it was kind of a stupid shit about the relationship between an ex-husband and his mob wife. But the thing is that maybe the media, I don't know, maybe the media kind of portrays black chicks in a darker light than white chicks. But if you take a look at the average reality show, like I think it's Atlanta Housewives, or basketball wives, you're going to have mainly black wives because the basketball, the NBA, is 80%, 90% black. But the other reality shows, the women act the same, regardless of whether they're black or white. They are some
absolutely
tipsy.
He's right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Ms. Cherry.
Well, I was going to make a comment about the twerking and then another comment. I don't know the history of twerking, but I will say I think it comes across in poor taste because of where it happens. I've seen girls going into restaurants and twerking under no circumstance. You don't even walk into a regular restaurant and start dancing if they're not playing music. So why do you think it's okay to walk in a restaurant and start twerking on a table? Like, we have no common sense. Why can't we walk down to the store without twerking? Or I've seen people at their jobs, you know, hairdressers and stuff like that twerking. It's inappropriate, and it gives us a certain image. And unfortunately, because that image is put out there, and I do think that the media does play into it, but the fact is, if we weren't doing it, they wouldn't have anything to show. So the problem isn't that they're exposing us. The problem is that we're behaving that way. These other women, you can see on TikTok and stuff, they're doing it in their house. They're not doing it at the grocery store. They're not doing it at their kids' school. They're not doing it, you know, at their job. It's us. And we have to accept accountability for how we come across. My second comment is...
But want somebody to say, well, that's our culture. That's just the culture. That's our culture.
No.
You know what?
We all know that's not true. But my second comment is how we view black women versus white women. I think, as a black woman, most of the time we're only allowed two emotions, right? We're either angry or we're not angry.
Absolutely.
With other women, they could be emotional, they could be sad, they could be happy, they could be
angry, they
could
be everything.
With us, it's like either you're angry or you're not. If you're quiet, you're angry. If you're sad, you're angry. It's just we don't get that leeway. And without that leeway, if we're not happy and grinning, then we're angry. And that's where that whole term of the angry black woman.
Or we have an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, we have an attitude for you being a bitch. Why? Because I'm not smiling.
Yeah.
Just leave me the fuck alone.
You're being aggressive. You're being aggressive when they're being assertive. You know? You're being aggressive when they're being assertive. You're being, you're trying to take over while they're trying to achieve something. So whatever term that they have, when they're describing black women, it's always a negative more than a positive.
It is.
The same attitude.
Yep.
That may be in the media portrayal, but white guys, they say the same shit as black guys do. Who the fuck is that bitch? Why is she acting up like a goddamn asshole?
Not you know what it is.
It's not hard to hear white men say anything like that. Are you kidding
me? I'll tell you one thing. It's a double standard. It is true. It's a double standard. Yes. Black women are portrayed in the media in a negative way. It's always like that. It's always been that way, that black women have always been portrayed in a negative way, and like all black women are angry. Years ago, speaking of that, I read something in the newspaper, and it was like, whoa, wait a minute, what the hell? A brother wrote an article, I think it was in the Daily News, and he talked about the angry black women and all this stuff with black in terms of black women with the image and all the stuff that black women are going through. But he also said this, which is true. There is a shortage of marriage. The marriage rate, let me just say it clearly, the marriage rate amongst black women is shorter than that of white women, Asian women, and even Latino women. The marriage rate of black women are very small. Could it be that less?
I wonder why.
Getting married, but then guess what? The marriage rate that is increasing, though, is interracial marriages.
Yeah, I wonder why, too.
That less black women are getting married.
Is it because, unfortunately, the black woman has had to do a lot of things on her own, like raise the kids and things like that? So in other cultures, they're raised where you go out and you find a partner, and they're kind of like responsible, or the male is the provider and he's the protector. So it's expected for him to take care of the household.
Mm-hmm.
Black women have gotten to the point where we don't expect – and a lot of guys don't expect to take care of their households. We expect to have to take care of our household, or it's a 50-50 situation. It's not a, I'm going out there to work and you stay home and take care of the kids. So if you're used to doing it yourself and you know you can do it yourself, there really is not that much incentive to bring somebody else in that can make it worse for you. Because a lot of black women have learned that they can do worse, or they can do better by themselves.
Mm-hmm. But now, all right, but check this out. When you say that, it takes me back to this movie. It's a famous movie in our community called Claudine, where she had.
I remember
kids,
that.
And, James Earl Jones, James Earl Jones, you know, was the boyfriend, and, you know, she went down to whatever office to go get some type of help, and, you know, they made it clear that if you have a black man, well, we won't say black man, we'll just say in general, if you have this man in this house with this income, because he made good money, he was a sanitation worker.
Sanitation.
He made good money.
Yeah, he was a garbage man.
In this house with this income, then you're not going to get these benefits.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not coming down on our women. I'm not coming down on women in general.
Yes.
But whether it's a game that they chose to play because, hey, I can still get money from him and still get money from the system. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it had to be just the woman that was playing that game. It could have been the men, too. Like, hey, well, listen, we can capitalize off of this. You know, I just don't have to be a part of this. You can't give certain types of people that open door policy. Because to turn around and be like, well, I'm getting this from the system, so I don't, you know, because when shit hits the fan, you know how people like to talk shit. Oh, well, I'm getting this, so I don't need you. And what you think going to happen? Man, go to war. they're going to leave the situation like, oh, word is like that. But wait. I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do, but sometimes you just can't give certain individuals the option. So my thing is, it puts a breach in the family, you know, a crack in the family structure when you turn around and say, listen, it's better if you're alone than to have the family, you know, or have your man there, because, you know, you're not going to get these benefits, or you're not going to do this. And to be honest with you, it's just the shit I saw my mother go through it. I saw my mother go through it and my father go through it. My father made good money, but his good money and her trying to be in housing didn't mix. So his name couldn't be on the lease in order for her to get a good price, you know, a good price on rent, which was sad. It's bullshit. So what other opportunity are you, or what are you saying? Like, what is being said to these mothers out here in these communities, whether they're white, black, or whatever? What are you saying? Something is being said and it's not right.
I'd like to say something about the stereotype. You guys, a few minutes ago, were talking about the stereotype.
Hey, what's up, lady? How you doing?
You know, let's not forget, and I'm sure some of you may be old enough, maybe not, because I'm old enough to remember this, the ditzy, dumb, blonde, remember?
Yeah.
You had blonde hair.
Yeah.
Were, you know, like Valley Girls, and they always talk like, let me see if I can imitate
that. I remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Please don't.
Okay, I won't. I probably can't do it good anyway. But they're, and let's not forget the Chinese. They were always Ching Chang Chong, and they weren't contributing anything to their particular household. So, I mean, all ethnic groups have their own particular stereotypes which occur at any particular time in the media. So I just wanted to say that because I didn't want you guys to feel left out. Yeah, you know, blondes had their day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Mr. Joe, listen, everybody gets their, you know, it gets their life. But, I mean, me as a black man, I have to speak on, you know, I got to call a spade when it comes down to my people. And I know there's a lot of shit that my people do to get the gun pointed at them, to get that finger pointed at them. Because, once again, listen, you can't scream fire and you got matches in your hand.
There's only two things that I think are very distinctive about black women. One is the twerking, which you already mentioned, and the other one, black women are very aggressive. White women are passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They will, okay, black women will get in your face and be a 2 inches away from you, and then you wonder why the man smacks them. I am not going to retract one second of what I said.
Oh, that's why after what you said, we're going to go to 4600. Call them 4600. You're on the air with the menu. What's going on?
My goodness.
That was a good point he made. That was kind of like a good point he made. People do get smacked. Like that.
What's up, sir? How you doing?
Uh-oh.
How was your holiday, sir?
You make a mention the twerking see in today's, you say the twerking that you see is similar to what you call Mapuka in West Africa.
Exactly.
It's not the same.
Thank you.
It looked like
it's not the same. Well, of course, it's not. Listen, that's, I said its origin And that is in its origins. They just took it, and they just took it to another level. But it's
I can agree with
that's where it's gotten from. Yeah,
all culture groups borrow from others in one fashion or another. I mean, that's just so. What's the other? Mantu, which is called judo here in other parts of the world. That was borrowed from a culture way back there. Black Americans, people like the misnomer, for the most part, are not Africans. They Americans. They long since from that gene pool. Oh. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. And I've been getting up. You know that in the West, people that have diabetes, they have the Neanderthal gene within their biological makeup.
Okay.
And when you go to, for instance, like Africa, especially in Central and Southern, they don't have that gene. In America, it's about 3% of your genome that you have that, you know, going back and tracing through DNA sequences, you find that somebody made it with the Neanderthal. And he was prevalent with, not prevalent, but he had the gene that causes diabetes.
Just real quick, not to stop you, sir. How is this relative to how does this?
I just wanted to add that in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not following you. I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that in there.
What does this have to
do? No, but I can't tell you about slapping and all this stuff. That's something I never experienced, but I guess it do go on.
Okay, Miss Selena, what's up?
Hey,
what's up? Hello. What do you have to add?
Hey, Selena.
After Mr. Joe just dropped the bomb in the situation.
Yeah, that bomb didn't go off yet.
That's
what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. What's about to, Mr. Joe?
Listen,
we got
listen,
Selena
it
and Miss Cherry.
It took my all to shut my mouth when Mr. Joe said something about raising his hand wondering why somebody don't get smacked. I now understood why black woman is 2 inches from his goddamn face because he raised his damn hand trying to smack somebody. I'm surprised he lived this long talking like that. The reality is, a lot of it has a lot to do with black men made it easy for them not to be needed in households. And I know y'all going to take it as an insult, but let me tell you, they placed all kind of traps for black men. You know, they the drug epidemic, they placed the jail, the crime bill, and stuff like that. And what they did was they took black men out of the household, and they gave us options, welfare. They gave us voting rights. They allowed us to go get education. They showed us that we can make money, that we can take care of the household. And I think the value of black men became depreciated, right? Because then you now have black men coming out of these jail systems feeling entitled, feeling like women should at least hold them down, you know, not minding not being the superior anymore. That's never been done in the white community. It's always been, you know, these white men took care of the household, and the white woman understood their roles, and they were submissive, and they were feminine. You know, the feminine fit and friendly, they were able to do that. But when you take the black man out of a household and you put the burden on a black woman, it's unbearable. And I think we took on a lot. So that's where them attitudes come from, Mr. Joe, that you don't like. That's where them attitudes come, because we overwhelm. We're taking care of the household. We're working. We're in school. We're also holding down these black men. You know what bothers me the most is that black men have nerves. To have nerve to hold black women to a standard, and they criticize us just as much as any other race. But let me tell you, when they get gunned down, it's these black sisters that's out there marching for justice. You're the first ones out there ready to scream and scream justice for them. But yet they criticize us more than a lot of other races. I see black men all the time promoting interracial relationships, telling us that white women are submissive, that they're feminine. Well, these white women never had the burdens, not even remotely close to what they've given us. So understand why we upset, understand why we're overwhelmed, and understand why sometimes we have an attitude. Because I don't know many, many black women who can actually lay down and trust a black man to lead their household without them, one, falling for the crime bill trap, two, falling for that injustice system that they really don't have any control over. But you got them also blaming a white man for why they can't work and do things. They got so many barriers against them, which eventually falls in a black woman's lap.
Well, shit, I think the show is over at this point. God damn.
Yeah, no, sure.
I'm glad you said that.
Who's raising these black males?
Who's raising them? Some of these single,
nobody's raising them.
If y'all in jail, if they're in jail and they're out there in the street or they're at work all the time, then who got them? Who has to raise them? These black women.
Yeah, the black woman is upset with and dissatisfied with which they effectively are producing themselves.
Let's be real. We don't want the role. We would love to hand it over to our black men and allow and be submissive, be super friendly, and just take care of home. But let's be honest. Black women have had to step up. We're living in households where we're doing 50-50. Sometimes we're doing 75-25.
Sometimes we're doing 90-10.
Right. Or sometimes we're doing 100, trying to, and we call that holding our black men down, right? But they get complacent. They get used to that. And sometimes they don't think that they got to do anything else. They get comfortable.
Well, at least you do admit. At least you admit that the situation does exist and it has consequences, which you see all the time. When you break that family, that circle, it's very difficult to get that back, even if you ever
listen,
do.
Listen, trust me, if you ask any black woman, if I take over the leadership role and put you in a house, and not only put me in a home setting, but provide the essentials. You know, there's a lot of stay-at-home wives with no goddamn washing machine. They scrubbing clothes. They're at the laundromat. You know, it's still a work. They're doing homework. They're doing this. Now, I'm not saying you got to put me in a white picket house, but make my job easier, because I make your job easier. When you go out there and you got to work and you come in that house and them kids' homework is done, that house is clean, your food is ready. Like, I make your life a lot easier. Make my job a lot easier.
Yep.
And then you got these black men that got nerve to yell prenup but don't want me to go to work. So you get to go out and work. You get to build up your self-worth. I get to stay at home for years and years and years, be a wife, and take care of the home. And when you separate from me, you tell me I only get to leave with what I came with. When I spent the last 10 years taking care of you and your household.
And well, you know, you got a point. I have to agree with you. You got a very, very strong point. I don't know what it's going to take to straighten that out.
What job am I
going to
go out there and apply for when the last 10 years, the only thing I can put on my resume is I've been your wife?
Especially if you don't have that strong family and that father. A couple of people that males that my daughter wanted to date, I told her, nope, you ain't dating him. So if you don't have those...
Let's not even mention that when I'm married to these black men and I'm submissive and I'm being a wife, they also don't want the outside influence of my family involved. So I also isolate from my family because my focus is just being your wife and serving you, right? So now when I go back, after you tell me to leave with what I came with, I now have to go back to those people I told to mind their goddamn business my whole marriage.
Well, you know what I told my daughter's I told him I told him don't do anything to my daughter you don't want me to do to you. And
but
he had a fear because of the brothers, the uncles, and the father. But most of the time that fear is not there. And then you end
Thank
up
you.
In the situation that you just got through describing.
And exactly. I mean, there was a situation where my sister had years ago, and I had to, you know, step in and, you know, say something to dudes. But there's a lot of dudes out there, whether they're black, white, or whatever, who feel when there is not a male influence around, depending on their agenda, they can just come in and do whatever they want to do and take over. But when there's a presence of a male there...
How many times have you attempted to step in and your sister told you, this is my marriage, stay out of it? Because she knew she had to go
and
work that out with her husband.
Right.
It was a boyfriend. It was a boyfriend, and I just had to
step in. Doesn't matter. They say that too.
They got to go home and face their boyfriend. So you got to take a step back and almost allow her to go through whatever quarrels she go through, right?
Right.
But in the midst of being submissive, friendly, and honoring her man and letting him be the leader, she's had to shun y'all a couple of times because it's her relationship. And then when he decides to leave that situation and tells her she can't take nothing that he offers, she now has to come back to you with no resume, being a girlfriend for the last 5, 6, 7 years, because I'm sure you know a female that's been a girlfriend for 7 years, no wife, and no resume. And all she knows is she's been submissive and honoring her boyfriend. And now she got to come back and be sister again.
So my thing is this. I have to say to that sister, what was your purpose of fucking with this dude? What was your purpose of dealing with this cat? If you
because
know the cat ain't shit,
the same reason,
what you dealing with?
Okay, but you know what? You say that, and once again, me and you have this conversation once again. When it comes to the matters of the heart, and that can go on both sides, like I said, you can't, a person's going to go through what they're going to go through. You saying what's the purpose? Because obviously it was a reason why she was messing with him, she liked him or whatever the issue was. Now when she became fed up with it, yes, she came to you to for you to help her out with the situation, but then and either she just let the guy, worked out where the guy left, or she said, well, it might have been a week later, she might have been like, oh, yeah, well, or he apologized, well, come on back, or whatever. Okay, my thing is, like I said, those things are...
Hold on. So I'm going to say something that I'm sure the real men on this panel can understand, and something that Miss Cherry may not even believe in. But you got two options. You either think about your heart or my freedom before you open your mouth and say anything.
Yeah, but nobody's going to
think
like
that.
Think
about what I just said.
What you just said.
Think about
reality.
Think about your heart and my
freedom. Let me tell you,
Selena, if I'm getting ready to toss my freedom out the window to take care of my sister or take care of my cousin or think about your heart and that dude that you so in love with, but yet y'all having this one moment of a breakdown, you better think about what you coming at me for, because there may not be no point of return.
You know who I'm going to tell you who files for divorce more, men or women? Do you know the answer to that? Who files for divorce men or women?
Yeah, women.
Women file for divorce more than men, right? Men usually stay in relationships even if they know that it's not, because they're honoring their vows and they don't believe in separating. They believe that if they've done it once. Women will stay until she can't tolerate it no more and normally will file for divorce faster than a man will. So eventually we're just trying to honor our vow. We're trying to honor our commitment. And eventually we get it and we say this ain't going to work. It's even harder when we have kids involved. But marriage, honoring vows, sometimes, a lot of times, that makes us sad. I'm not talking about the heifers that's getting the crap beat out of them. And a lot of times, it's the lack of a father. And they think that
what about the value made to yourself? What about the value made to yourself? Fuck all that shit that you're making to somebody else. I mean, when you get married, you should not be sacrificing yourself. Because then what's the purpose of marriage if you're not giving
to
your person? All right. So, marriage should never be that type of sacrifice. It should be two people coming together to build something. There's no sacrifice that should be made whatsoever.
Don't tell me, hold
because
on.
If you got
to make tell me in your marriage you've never done something that you did not want to do, but you did it because your wife wanted you to.
That's not sacrifice. That's compromise.
That's compromise. That's not sacrifice. That's a compromise.
Nah, it's a sacrifice.
That's a compromise.
Yeah.
How is a sacrifice?
As I said,
you bought maxi pads before. You know damn well that wasn't a compromise. That was a sacrifice. You sacrificed yourself and took your ass to the store to make your wife
happy. I'm a man. I have no hang-ups about doing stuff like that. Like, listen, I don't give a fuck what the world got to say about me. Because guess what? The world ain't behind me when I'm looking in that mirror at myself. So I don't give a damn. I'll go do what I got. You need me to go get you a crate of them? I will go do it. If you want me to wear a T-shirt that says Maxi Pad on it, hey, listen, I'll do it. I ain't got shit to prove to nobody but me.
Yeah, but that's a sacrifice to me. Nah, that's a sacrifice. That's not a compromise. That's a sacrifice.
I guess we got to look up the definition of sacrifice. What do you think, Mr. Keon?
You're sacrificing your manhood to go do that. Not saying that you know, but I'm just saying you're sacrificing your manhood. Because somebody just like you.
All right, so check this out. So wait a minute. How did I sacrifice? Where did I stop being a man? Because first of all, me being a man means that I don't give a fuck about what you're saying. I'm doing what I'm doing. No,
the men ain't supposed to buy Maxi pads.
No, listen, who said that?
Compromise takes two people to come to a mutual agreement that is outside of what they would normally want. So you want apples, I want oranges, we compromise on a banana. That's a compromise, right? A sacrifice is me saying, nah, I want oranges. And you saying, nah, I want apples. But I'm like, I want oranges. You like, you know what? Today I'm going to do oranges. And tomorrow we're going to do... You sacrifice.
You gave up something to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the popular terminology today. But in my life experience, my sacrifice is when I could have had something else, but I chose to put that toward making sure my children had the best education.
Yeah.
Where they would have a solid base to stand on. I made sure that my daughter had her first home, that I bought all the appliances and so on and so on and so on. So that's a sacrifice. I could have went out and bought a new car, had some spinning rims, or even, you know, I tell you what, y'all. My grandson, I paid his way into college, although he did have scholarships. And I used to wear these same shoes that I was wearing, I guess, about 2014. He went into college in 2015. And I wore them and wore them until they had holes in them. So he came and said, Papa, why don't you buy you some new shoes? And I looked at him and said, you get out of college, I'll buy me some new shoes. So that was a sacrifice.
Right. Yeah.
And also a learning lesson. See, when you're married, you have children. When you're married, you have children, y'all. You don't want a divorce to leave them children without the structure that they need where they don't get some point in the future. You have to sacrifice and say, look, we're going to stay together. We may sleep in different beds. But the main factor here is these children. They need to have a mother and a father, and they need to see them getting along in some sort of positive way. Because
then you're sacrificing your own sanity because guess what? If you can't stand that person and you and this person got to live in the same, okay, y'all may be living in separate beds or whatever, but y'all got to be in the house with each other, and that can lead to a hostile situation in front of the children still.
Well, then you have to have that self-control, because here's the point. When that daughter gets married, how does she know what to look for in a husband if she's never seen it played out between the mother and the father? That caused
my mother and father was married for 25 years, and guess what? It got to a point where they were, and my father was around all the time that, you know, I've seen them do, you know, be loving to each other or stuff, but it got to a point where, you know, it got to a point where it was separation. They started sleeping separate from each other, and the situation got kind of hostile between them at certain times. Now, I'm not married. No, I'm not. That's right. I'm single because I'm choosing that. But if I was to look for a mate in terms of a husband, I would definitely know what that is, because I looked at how my mother and father was to each other. Now, you ain't going to get along all the time. You're not looking for nothing perfect, because that's not going to happen.
Hold on, Mr. Hosey. Listen, I got to throw you under the bus, cousin. You hostile. You just angry.
Well, okay, angry, and guess what? That's why I'm hostile. Because of that aunt that you love so much, that's why I'm hostile. I got it from
you
her.
You know what? She was feisty. She wasn't hostile. She was feisty. That's the problem. And not too many men.
And see, and that, but see, but guess what? But guess what, cousin? Guess what?
Feistiness.
But guess what? Guess what? My father loved the hell out of even when they got divorced, even though my mother and father was divorced and he went and got remarried, he was still doing stuff for my mom. My mother called him up, hey, James, come bring your tail over here and bring me this, this, that, and other. He'd be like, all right, you'll argue with her, fuss with her a little bit. And he'd be like, all right, you mean, I'll be there in 5 minutes, okay?
So you can
Absolutely.
And you can never say that men like that do not exist or they're not out there, because he just showed you an example of what he wants you to see in other men.
Right,
he
but guess what? There's not
example.
Other. Okay, you're right, but guess what? Other. Once again, I am single, and guess what? I've dated, and guess what? Those type of men like my dad are not out there. And I'm not talking about younger men. I'm talking about these older ones, these ones that's in my age bracket that grew up, grew up the same way that I did, with the mother and father and our mother, and they are not out there. They're not doing that. And these are men that are over, everybody's over 45, going on damn near 50 or over 50, and they are not in that type of, you know, they don't have that type of headspace. They don't. They don't have it.
Well, you know, times are different now, believe it or not.
Absolutely.
I first met my wife, I think I was 12 and she was 10, or maybe 9 and 11. And we married when we got of age. And we had kids, and she passed away in 2008. And I remarried. I went to West Africa. But I'm still married to my first wife, because we never ended that marriage formally.
Okay.
And I still see her in the dreams, and we talk. But like the lady just said, it's very difficult to find that type of situation.
Yeah,
it was more so common then, but now because of society, well, you just don't see that quite often.
What is it you want to see in a man? What is it that makes you feel that the man that you encounter is going to be either like your father or like the person that you want him to be? What particular characteristics that you're not finding?
Who, me?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Any one of y'all.
You ask me what kind of characteristics. Say that one more time.
What kind of characteristics do you want to see in a man that you're not finding?
A man that's going to do the right thing. That's not going to get on my nerves. Somebody ain't going to get on my damn nerves.
And what does he do to get on your nerves?
Just get on my nerves. Don't get on my nerves. Don't bother me.
I'll give him more definitive answer.
No.
I want a man that's capable of leading. I want a man that understands his role. I want a man that will allow or expect me to be submissive, feminine, and friendly. I want a man that's going to provide the tools to allow me to take care of a household. I want a man that's going to allow me to balance him, support him. I want a man that's a man of God. I want a man that respects my role as a queen and needs me, not just want me. I want a man that understands that we balance each other out. I want a man that understands the value of family. Like,
all right,
go, Ms. Sherry. You want me to go on?
Oh, Ms. Sherry next. I want to know what Ms. Sherry is talking about.
So I grew up in a two-parent household, and my mom's
somebody's
had,
background noise.
They had been married. Uh-huh. They had been married like 45 years at that time, and my father, I'm like Big Red. My father set an example where I cannot accept less. You know, he was a provider. He led us into things, but he also valued what my mother had to say. He didn't take it as if she had a voice that somehow it diminished his role as a man. You know, even to this day, I'm upset right now because I'm not watching the ball game with him at the house. just very close to his daughters. He had all daughters, no sons, very close. I knew that if anything happened, I pick up the phone, my father was going to be there. He took on that role not only for me, for my friends, definitely for my mother. And even though they didn't agree all the time, I've never seen my father raise his voice to my mother. I've never seen my father put his hands. Joe, we're going to get back to you putting your hands on a black woman. But never saw that example.
Y'all want to hear something crazy, though?
Never saw that example. So to me, that's unacceptable. To hear a black man say, oh, you got up in my face, so I slapped you in the mouth. I'm like, are you crazy? I never saw that. I know people that have gone through it. It's not acceptable to me. I was also raised through an example with my father to work hard and to be able to get your own. It's nice to have somebody help you, a helpmate, a man come in and step in, but if he can't do it or he won't do it, you should still be able to get your own and not be reliant on it. If you're relying on somebody, you have to accept whatever they give you. If you can get your own, you have a choice. So,
y'all want to hear something crazy, though? Something crazy. Both of y'all answered kind of similar, right? And both of y'all answers were influenced off of the father that y'all had in your life. Now, here's the twist to that. My answer was based off of what I wanted, mainly based off of what I didn't have. So my answer isn't based off of it being influenced by somebody else, and nor am I seeking another person in the men that I date. So I'm more so looking for something that I never had or never seen in a man rather than making men be who my father were.
Well, we're looking at examples of what we want our men to be like. We're taking the good traits that we see. We're not saying, oh, like what you said, you don't have an example. So you're thinking, I want this, I want that. Like you were saying something like, I want a man that's going to allow me to be. What I'm saying is I don't need a man to allow me to be. I can be without him allowing me. So I learned that
men get that. We're not submissive.
But I learned that from having a man in the house. If I didn't have a man in the house, I would think I need permission to become a certain type of
woman. Wait a minute. I think, all right, let's not misconstrue the words or flip them around, because that's the one thing with words. You can place the man, you can turn them around and twist them. I don't think so much it's the thing of, the word allowing. Because
it definitely
just like
wasn't permission.
Because I've noticed, and I've said this before on the show, when it comes down to nuptials, there's certain words that they have taken out of the nuptials, and a lot of times because the women don't like the word obey. And the word obey, it's like it compared to what it meant then, compared to what it means now, is two totally different things. And it's like you got to stop feeding into the bullshit, as Mr. Joe says, the propaganda of things. And it's like, no, the word doesn't obey doesn't mean that you're supposed to just, if I tell you to go run down the block half naked, you're supposed to go do it, or woman, go get my food, or what? No, it doesn't mean
also
that.
Also keep in mind.
And don't
also
take
keep
it,
in mind the word allow. The word allow doesn't mean permission. Like for instance, a man's leadership allows me to be supportive. You understand what I'm saying? So that's not him giving me permission.
Exactly.
It's me following his role as a leader, and it allows me to be his supporter. So it's not permission.
Exactly.
I'm not asking for anything like trust. You know what I'm saying? That just wouldn't be me ever. But, you know, when a person says allows, it's almost like permits. It's almost like, you know, because of this, I'm able to do this.
Now,
so when
and
I
with,
stated,
that, and with that being said, go ahead, finish with me.
No, so when I say that allow, it meant because of, I want a man to understand his role as a leader, which would allow me to be da-da-da-da. It's definitely not, please, can you allow me to be da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly. I mean, listen, I feel like this. You want a solid relationship? Make sure you have a solid relationship with yourself before you get yourself into a relationship with someone else. Understand the things that you want, you need, and you require. Because once again, when two people get together, it's not a thing of them, you know, helping to polish each other off. You're coming into a situation already polished. Now you're looking to build. It's like if I got bagels and Red got cream cheese, it's like, yo, let's put this together and make something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not coming to her. I'm not coming to Red with some dough, and she's coming with me with unfinished cream cheese, and it's like, yo, we need to finish this project and make something. Nah, we're coming together, you know, as a team. And that's what it's all about. You're forming a team because you already got your Jordan characteristics or your Pippen characteristics or your Rodman characters or whatever. But you're bringing together as a team. And that's the whole thing. You're supposed to help one another. And if you're going into a situation, you know what I'm saying, with someone and your shit is not together, then what do you expect? Whether it's a man or a woman. So when you're out there calling women gold diggers, and why are you picking those type of women? If you know what they're about. Why?
You'd be
like,
surprised
what validation
how many,
are you looking for?
You'd be surprised how many women will say they want their man to be a leader, and I say, but don't allow him to, and that's not giving him permission to. It's because their controlling ways, their aggression doesn't allow it to happen. It's not that he's not a leader. It's just that your role and the person you are doesn't allow that leadership to flourish because you want it done a certain way, or you nagging, or you complaining. But yet they'll say, I want a man that's a leader. Gotta let him lead.
But the whole thing, but define the leader. See, that's the thing. You say you want a leader, but you want to define the leadership that he's providing.
But,
and see, the whole thing is, you need to find a man that leads a certain way that you like. Because to me, that's what it's all about. I'm not gonna find a woman that's doing something that I don't like. Because then that means she's not wifey material for me. That doesn't help me out. So you got to find somebody that's doing things that's like, hey, we can build, we can work together. But go ahead, Ms. Jerry.
My only problem with that is I understand that a man has to be the head of the household, but you can't make a man a leader. I mean, either he has the skills or he doesn't. What we're being asked to do is for us to, like the Koi. Not to say white women, but like the coy blonde white woman who can't do things because she does, now her man feels she's aggressive or she's trying to take over. It shouldn't be a matter of that. I shouldn't have to diminish who I am in order for a male to feel like he's a leader. And
I think
that's
we
got
to go back to what
he
said.
You have to pick someone who is. You know what you're about and what your mindset is, and you have to find somebody that matches that can stand up.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not really my role as a woman to pick you up and say, hey, come lead. You have to have that skill coming in because I can't diminish who I am in order to accommodate you into a role that you don't have or you don't
okay,
know
but,
how.
Okay, but hold on. Before Hot Rod takes us out, I do have to say this. We already know who the head of the household is. So let's just stop bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because a house is just a house. It's not a home without the woman. Simple and plain. So let's not go with the whole thing of like the head of. Listen, it's always going to be the woman. The man mm-hmm. just defends the territory. Go ahead, Hot Rod, take us out, please.
No, I agree with everyone. All I want to say is the head of my household is not my wife or me. It's all my goddamn kids. They're running me to the ground right now.
Oh, he's about to give it to God. He gave it to the kids.
Listen, this has been we got 60
no,
seconds
Wi-Fi,
left. Listen, thank you, everyone.
Your household.
Right.
Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Mr. Bianchi, Mr.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe, K-Dog, Big Red, Miss Cherry, and Selena. This has been very productive. Miss Cherry, be nice. And everybody have a good week.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's what it is, right?
Oh, man.
And
let me just
everybody
say,
take care. Go ahead.
And I was just saying, let me just say, I missed the Knicks versus the Nets tonight to come on and talk. That's
oh, don't worry.
Exact
the,
oh, it was a damn this, good game. I was watching
the Knicks
that.
Lost. By 1 point.
The Knicks lost.
They lost by 1 point.
The Knicks lost. Brooklyn stomped them.
No,
it was
by
a good
one
game.
Point. That's not a stomp.
By 1 point. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
Oh, well, congratulations to the game that they didn't win. At least they lost by 1 point.
I'm going to have to.
That's another one in the can.
For like.
and send him my regards. Everybody have a good
I
night.
Will.
Take care.
Enjoy later, guys.
Later.
Y'all
later.
Y'all
later. All right.
Night, guys.